This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to start today with more on the 21st Century Cures Act. It's the massive $6.3 billion federal bill that aims to modernize American medical research, and it could have a major impact on Massachusetts' health and life sciences sectors. However, there's a problem. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren opposes the bill. She says it's been hijacked by industry.
The bill cuts Medicare funding. It raids money from the Affordable Care Act. It takes health care dollars that should have gone to Puerto Rico. It makes it harder for people with disabilities to get Medicaid services. There is a lot of bad stuff in this bill. And when the American voters say that Congress is owned by big companies, this bill is exactly what they're talking about.
That's Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking last week. The 21st Century Cures Act is a complex, multifaceted bill that's more than 900 pages long. Between now and when it makes its way to President Obama's desk, which it is very likely to do, we are going to go in depth and explore some of the most important parts of the proposed law. Now, one of those parts is the major changes the act would make to the FDA drug approval process. The bill proposes reducing the standard of evidence required for several types of drugs and medical devices and allowing companies to market drugs for non-FDA approved uses. So yesterday we spoke with Robert Coughlin. He's president of the Massachusetts Biotechnology Council, and he strongly supports the 21st Century Cures Act precisely because it would fast-track drugs that are currently mired in the FDA approval process.
It's not going to reduce the FDA's high standards for safety and efficacy. What it will do is expedite the time it takes to invent a drug. If an existing compound that we know is safe could work for a different disease or indication, isn't that a good thing? I have a child, a 14-year-old son, that has cystic fibrosis. There isn't a treatment available to him today. Wouldn't it be good to know that if there were drugs that were on the market for other diseases would work in cystic fibrosis, we could get that to my son before he dies?
Well, let's get a different view today. Dr. Reshma Ramachandran disagrees with Robert Coughlin. She's the co-chair of the National Physicians Alliance FDA Task Force. And when we spoke with her earlier today, she said she believes the 21st Century Cures Act would reduce the FDA's, quote, trustworthy stewardship of the public health to a shadow of its former self. And she says that should worry everyone.
As someone who's trained in medicine, you know, we often rely on this label of FDA approved to ensure that whatever we're giving to our patients is actually safe and effective. And, you know, removing the FDA out of the equation and instead allowing for clinical anecdotes to supplant the gold standard of clinical trials is not the right way to go.
In your article, you basically said you believe that the FDA, in a sense, is being hijacked by pharmaceutical and medical device companies. And give us an example here, because you also talk about, for example, how the 21st Century Cures Act would, in your words, pressure the FDA to approve new antibiotics and other drugs through a faster pathway called the limited population antibacterial drug pathway. What is that all about?
It actually pressure the FDA to approve new antibiotics and also antifungals and possibly other drugs based on smaller trials in a limited group of patients, which means that more safety risks would go undetected. On top of that, you know, there's only going to be a label there for clinicians and for consumers to be able to know that it was approved through this expedited pathway. And study after study has shown that oftentimes clinicians and patients, you know, don't pay enough attention to labels and oftentimes will use the drug anyway. So we're going to be allowing, you know, just with a label on top, new drugs that haven't been tested adequately enough for safety and efficacy to be on the market for patients. And this is going to be really problematic, you know, as somebody's prescribing to actually make sure that the drug I'm giving to my patients is actually, you know, won't hurt them and actually is effective.
Hmm. Well, so you also raised some concerns about medical device manufacturers and new rules under the 21st Century Cures Act that would allow for high-risk medical devices to be approved based on a different standard of evidence. Can you tell me more about that?
So right now in the legislation, there is actually a provision to actually allow for manufacturers to make changes to high-risk medical devices without any FDA oversight. Instead, what would happen is that the manufacturer of the medical device, in making those changes, would actually be able to contract a third party to oversee any sort of safety and efficacy issues with the change to device and not the FDA. In the past, when changes have been made to devices or when there have been safety concerns, we've actually seen manufacturers being well aware of these issues and not letting the FDA know. And this would codify, you know, the FDA's inability to actually provide adequate oversight of new high-risk devices or new changes to high-risk devices and put patients at harm for longer periods of time because the manufacturer might not be, you know, so willing to report any sorts of defects with their devices and would have, you know, huge conflicts of interest by employing a third party to oversee those different changes.
Huh, interesting. So I wanted to touch on one more part of the 21st Century Cures Act regarding the FDA, because this one was very near and dear to Robert Coughlin, again, who's the head of the Mass Biotech Council, when we spoke to him yesterday, and it has to do with regenerative therapies and the use of adult stem cells based on clinical anecdotes, that the act would basically allow the FDA to approve new therapies based on clinical anecdotes and other endpoints. I mean, in your paper, you give the example of the shrinkage of a tumor would be enough to get FDA approval instead of proving that a disease was definitively cured. And again, this has to do with adult stem cells. And Robert Coughlin told us that he has no problem with this and, in fact, wants to see this become part of how the FDA goes about approving regenerative therapies. And here's what he said.
I find it hard to believe that the FDA would be approving anything that wasn't proven safe. And first and foremost, you have to realize that people are dying if they don't receive therapies anyway. So again, what is the risk to benefit ratio? We're looking at moving forward as it relates to regenerative medicine, precision medicine. What's next as it relates to these breakthrough therapies? And this bill provides the opportunity for companies to do that.
Another way of putting what Robert Coughlin was telling us is that, you know, he represents within his own family and certain patient populations, people who are going to die anyway, and they are willing to take any chance to see if there's a possible regenerative therapy that could help them. And they've been longing for fast-tracked FDA approval for these therapies, and they haven't been able to get it. So why not give it to them, and why not do it through the 21st Century Cures Act?
So there's a couple of things. So one, when we see patients in the office, you know, the things that we care about are also our patient's overall quality of life. And so the fact that, you know, the drug would be approved based on changes in surrogate endpoints or biomarkers, instead of asking, you know, the questions that we ask in the office, you know, are you feeling better? Is your quality of life better? Is mortality and morbidity being addressed? These are questions that we think that the drug companies need to answer as well. The other part of it that I think is very troubling to hear, you know, from him is he wants this small portion of the bill to be passed and ignores kind of all the other deregulatory provisions in 21st Century Cures. And I understand, you know, for a number of patients, they want to have drugs now. They want to have new devices now. But if it comes at the expense of undermining the FDA as a whole and the only agency as a practitioner that I can rely on to ensure that drugs are safe and effective, then, you know, I think that's a lose-lose proposition for both my patients and public health.
So let me just jump in here, because let me ask you to clarify here. Do you think that the sum total of the changes that the 21st Century Cures Act, the changes that it's asking the FDA to go through, that it would effectively gut the FDA as an agency?
I do. And the reason why I think that is because, you know, for the last few years since we've been tracking 21st Century Cures, we've heard these same proposals coming. We've heard these same proposals from the pharmaceutical and medical device companies at various meetings, asking for there to be a faster, expedited approval pathway so that they can get new drugs and devices on the market. And not, they're not saying, you know, faster and better drugs. They're just saying faster drugs and faster new drugs. So we're worried, you know, that the bill overall is just going to undermine the FDA's ability to be able to suss out, you know, whether or not drugs are actually truly safe and truly effective. And it would undermine the only agency that we really have out there that's making sure that pharmaceutical companies and medical device companies are held accountable for whatever they're putting out in the market.
So let me ask you a final question. The 21st Century Cures Act did pass by a landslide in the House, 392 votes to 26 votes. The Senate is likely to pass it as well, and President Obama says he will sign it if it gets to his desk. Now, if that happens, how is this act going to change how you treat your patients?
So in clinical practice, you know, instead of relying on this approval process or this idea that the drug has been FDA approved, I'll have to do a second look and take a lot more time in terms of deciding what treatment would be best for patients. It'll be harder to trust that the FDA is doing its job. You know, honestly, I'm afraid that by prescribing a new drug or device that's FDA approved, that I might inadvertently harm my patient just because the correct evidence was not gathered by the administration, by the FDA, to make sure that it's actually safe and effective.
Well, Dr. Reshma Ramachandran is assistant scientist in the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She's also co-chair of the National Physicians Alliance FDA Task Force. We've got a link to her article about the Physicians Alliance concerns about the 21st Century Cures Act. We've got a link at our website at radioboston.org. Dr. Ramachandran, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.